And I wanted to do this. I wanted to go on this exploration with you guys because I stumbled upon something, I mean, just Sunday night, that kind of blew my mind. And I have this therapist and friend, her name is Donnie Angel. And she gave a talk at a new moon ceremony on Sunday night. And I got really excited about what she was speaking about, to the point where now we're talking about it here. And of course, what is a teacher? Somebody that's two pages further along in the book that you're reading. Maybe some of you have heard me say that. And so this is all very new for me. I'm only two pages further along in the book you're reading, but I guess that makes me a teacher. And I am bringing this to you because I think it is probably the most important discovery I've ever made in terms of my own life and what I want out of my own life that will help me get there. And so that's why I changed courses, even though I had a great thing prepared for you guys, that I'm now wanting to explore this. And I was going to have Donnie present this information because she's written the book basically, and I'm only two pages into it, but she was not available. Like I mentioned, she is at a funeral. But she said, yep, feel free to go for it. But I do want to give her credit for this. And I do, I'm going to partner with her on this and create a book about it. I mean, that's how excited I am about what I'm about to share with you. So hopefully you have a pen by now. But here's the premise of what we're exploring. You know that feeling of being really understood by, let's say, your mother or your father or your kids or your business partner or your partner? Yeah, me neither. Like, we really kind of go through our lives, and I thought it was just me, not really ever feeling seen or understood, but I realized that everybody struggles with this. And they also struggle with trying to understand themselves. And it's been kind of a lifelong quest of me to figure out, you know, how to sort out what my deal is, who I am, what I want, why I struggle in relationships, all of that. And typically what we do is we dissect our childhood with a therapist. I've gotten really into the Enneagram. If I work with a private client, you know, if you're a private client of mine, you know this, that I make you determine what your Enneagram type is first. Relationships, five love languages. Oh my gosh, I read that book. It just completely changed my life. You know, acts of service, quality time together, gifts or presents, positive affirmations, physical touch. Like, this stuff really helps us understand what we want or need out of a relationship or how we show love. There's a mentor that I have. His name is Richard Paul Evans. Maybe you've heard of him. He's a 41 bestseller author. And he had a article that has been read over 8 million times. It's probably the most read article in the history of the world. It's called How I Saved My Marriage. And what Richard Paul Evans did was just started going to his wife one day and said, every single day, he actually kept it up, how can I make your day better? And she said, well, go clean the kitchen. So he cleaned the kitchen. Next day, how can I make your day better? Well, go clean the garage. And he kept at this until he saved his marriage. So all these things, you know, it's like we've all gathered information. We've all had revelations over the years. It's like, who am I? What makes my relationships? What will work? What won't work? Like, how do I figure my life out? So I've been on the same quest as you guys. And then I met Donnie Angel. And then I listened to her talk on Sunday night. And she talked about something that just brought it all together. And it's called, well, I'm calling it your three core values. So tonight's talk is about three core values, and I'm going to help you identify what they are. And I believe that not knowing these is the thing which holds people back from living their dream lives. I feel like if we don't know these, until we discover and claim what matters most to us and learn how to communicate that, we're going to struggle, because we can never really truly know ourselves, nor can we ever be gotten by the people in our lives. If you don't know your three core values, you just don't know how to live authentically either. if you don't know the people in your life's three core values and they don't know yours, you won't make sense to each other and you'll fight all the time. In short, you're just going to live in hell, like an inner hell and an external hell. But if you learn what your three core values are, core desires, we could call them core values, your life gets so much easier. You get to know yourself and what makes you tick. You understand what makes others in your inner circle tick. You all of a sudden, your partner makes sense, your children make sense, your parents make sense. Arguments end, or at least get sorted within 20 seconds instead of last as an ongoing same argument all the time for 20 years. Identifying one's three core values is so profound for me that I'm partnering with Donnie to write a book about it. I talked to her about it at length on Sunday night. So today in particular, through this talk, I want to help you figure out, yes, what your three core values are, but I really want us to focus on finding out what your number one core value is, because it's the one that is the centerpiece for your life. Let me give you a couple more details. You know, there's a lot of things like our Enneagram type, like I talked about, love language, even your horoscope, like your zodiac signs, and things kind of change, right? You are pr pretty much understood that your Enneagram type, that may be your type your whole life, but you also have wings and you kind of move around. Same with your love language. It's like kind of all of them, and one day I want one more than another, that kind of thing. Like a lot of these things that we've had revelations about in understanding ourselves or relationships and all of that, they tend to move around. But the thing about core values is that they are the same from birth. Now, if anyone has ever, you know, have kids, like if you've had kids and you've seen kids, right? Of course, they come out of the womb a certain way. They don't become a certain way because something happens to them or they get a certain way from mommy and daddy. I'm talking about the core, like starting initial value, like the theme of your life, the thread, like that's in your bone marrow, like a kid that comes out of the womb and you're like, where the heck did this kid come from? They're such a caring, loving being, or where the heck did this kid come from? They're such an adventurous spirit, but mommy and daddy weren't. Like these three core values, what I'm trying to say to you is you were born with these. And these will be your same three core values your entire life. So, as for figuring yours out, I'm going to give you me as an example. I'm going to tell you what mine are. And this is still a work in progress. I'm not entirely sure that these are my three core values. This has only been 2 days. My first one, though, is likely, and I hate to say it, but validation. And I thought, well, maybe it's acknowledgement or appreciation, but I really think that it's validation. Like I validate other people so much. Oh my gosh, you're so smart. You're so beautiful that I can't believe you just said that. That was amazing. And that's what I like in return as well. And that's what I hold value in. It's like I look at people that don't validate each other and say nice things to each other. And I'm like, what the heck is wrong with this person? But I didn't realize that that was just my core value, but it's not necessarily theirs. So my number two core value is probably authenticity, like owning your shit. And actually, I think that authenticity is why I do what I do for a living in the way that I do it. It's why I love my work so much too, because I'm all about, you know, my value is all about being outrageous and raw and owning your shit and crying without apology. And it really ties in with Zen. Like when you're happy, be happy. When you're sad, be sad. Like that's authenticity. And probably my number three is accomplishment. Accomplishment is kind of for me, like I want to feel accomplished. I want to do great things. And I want to be around people that are doing great things, which is also why I love my clients, because for me, doing great things is trying to be the best you can be. So those are my three core values. Probably my first one is validation. I'm not sure. I'm still figuring it out. But let me give you some other examples of what I see as core values for other people. And this is actually on my list too. Some of my close some on, that are on my list, but maybe not top three, or core values are adventure or practicality. Like, I'm such a practical person. I value it so much. When I see other people not being practical, it drives me nuts. Loyalty, big time core value for me. Like, if I take on a family member, if I take on a pet, like, I am loyal. Doesn't matter who they are or what they are, I am there for them. Comfort, which I'm going to go over soon. That one's funny. Accountability, which is kind of tied into what I was talking about before. Love is a core value for me. So as I'm starting to outline mine and my core values, and then I start talking about other ones that are kind of interesting, I just want you to start writing some words down on your pad of paper with your pen about things that just strike you. Like, if I say something that strikes you, I want you to write it down and contemplate it. So here are some other core value examples. And I mentioned comfort being one of mine, probably not my top three, but comfort can be expressed in how you dress, like what kind of clothing you wear. If you're wearing super comfy clothes all the time, comfort, and this is interesting, can also be expressed in the food that you eat. How it manifests in me is because a core value for me is comfort. I want to have a really yummy couch and a really soft blanket, and I want to eat mac and cheese. So this is one of my core values, but somebody else's core value may be wellness, and they look at my mac and cheese and they're like, "What is up with you?" And so if somebody's core value is wellness, they're into eating healthier. So then there's a core value maybe of expression, you know, somebody that loves to sing and perform. Another core value that I find interesting is transparency. Right? You people that are having a core value of transparency, they're like, "I just want you to lay it out on the table." Like, they'll say some sentences like that. Another core value could be movement, people that just need to move their bodies all the time, and they can't understand why other people aren't like them. And respect, right, can be another core value. And keep in mind, these core values, you know, they can come even out of pathology. Like, narcissists have core values, and certainly one of their top three for narcissists, their core value is going to be all about gaining respect. So these are just a couple of that I thought were interesting that I'd put on the table, but there are literally, I mean, the sky's the limit. And the great thing about love languages is they're really easy to identify. The difficult thing about core values is they're very difficult to identify. I'm going to help you identify yours, though, throughout this talk. And Kirk, have you been examining a way to possibly separate people into groups, or should we just keep going in a talking format and maybe Q&A at some point?
Yeah, I don't. It's possible to do, but I don't think I can't set up for the meeting we have now.
Okay, that's fine. So then, what I'd like you to do is, as I guide you on helping you figure out your three core values, and in particular, we're looking for what your primary number one core value is, I want you to write down some of these things that I'm going to outline next, how to figure out yours. And I'm sure you're going to have some questions, and maybe I'll have some of you talk to these, like answer my questions. We'll get to that eventually. So be prepared, because I may just call on people at random. So how you figure out yours is, once you find your core values, we'll just talk about them in terms of three. Once you find your three core values, the top ones, the second you figure it out, it's going to stir your heart and soul. You may even cry. You're going to have for sure a really emotional response, because it means so much to you. It's like, it's, and the reason why I love this work too is because it's single words. You know, that's what we're going for. And of course, being a voice dialogue facilitator, I'm all about finding the right word to capture the essence of what's happening right now. So when you hear a word and you like authenticity, I'm like, oh, that just shakes me to my core. Like, I just love it. So that's what you're looking for, this super intense emotional response where your heart and soul is just stirred up. Now, what will probably happen, and you may even be writing this down on your notepad right now, you'll start by writing down or saying what you wish they were. But that, unfortunately, is not going to take you there. to figure out what your three core values are, it's more about looking into what upsets you or what triggers you. And the reason why is if your core values are not being met, which oftentimes they're not, certainly in this crazy world we live in particular, if your first core value is not being met, you will argue a lot. You will fight for it. You will fight for it at any cost. So start first with making a list or writing down things that trigger you. Times in your life when you felt really, really threatened. And what you do, this is how you find your three core values, is you write it down and then you start contemplating it and reverse engineering it. So I'll give you some examples. Like mine with validation. Like I just was very, very upset throughout my, like my primary love language was positive affirmations. And I wasn't getting them from my husband. In fact, I was getting the opposite. And it was such a deep wound for me. And I was so angry and so like, I almost became demanding and I just asked for it all the time. Can't you validate me? Can't you validate me? Can't you validate me? And so it was, but I was constantly validating my husband. Oh my gosh, you're so good looking. You're so smart. You're so this, that, right? I was giving him what I wanted. And so it wasn't just positive affirmations. It was actually validation. And the other thing that's going to happen is that the primary first core value is going to be something that you're going to be really deeply embarrassed about. And of course, that works for me with validation. It's like, God, I don't want to be the type of person who's like needs validation from other people. So that's a sign that you're on the right track. I think that my husband's core primary value, number one, is support. I could be wrong. But it's like the last thing a strong, autonomous man like Kirk wants to believe about himself is that he just really, really needs support from other people. That's ridiculous. That's pathetic. I don't need support. You know, I can support myself. And so if it's something that makes you feel upset about yourself, that this might be a core value, then it's probably your number one. It's about reverse engineering what also you judge in other people. Like for me, back to the validation, I am constantly telling people how great they are. And I'm constantly seeing the good in people. And if other people don't see the good in me, I judge that about them. Or if other people are criticizing other people, I judge them for that. Because my core value is validation and just glass half full and all of that. Like I judge other people tremendously when they don't exhibit that value. So other ways to figure these out, these are kind of more fun ways. How do you spend your time? So how I spend my time, for example, is trying to be really accomplished, one of my top three core values. I spend my time connecting with people. Connection is on my list. And I spend my time trying to have authentic conversations with them, not superficial conversations. How do you spend your money is another big way to look for your three core values. If it's on stuff like this or personal growth courses, then your core value may be growth, learning and growth. If you spend a lot of money at the Container Store, your core value may be organization, right? Or order. Another thing to look for is, what do you care so much about that you can't believe others don't care about it as well? I'm going to say that again. What do you care so much about that you just cannot even wrap your mind around why people don't care about it as well? Like Donnie, her primary core value, her number one is workability. And I'll explain what that is in a little bit. It's kind of just, she needs order in her life. And she's like ripping her hair out. Like, why won't my family put their clothes away? Why are the dishes not done? She's like, why don't you care about having a neat house? It drives her nuts. Or like me, why can't people see the good in other people? Because that's my core value. Last one, what makes for the perfect vacation? That's how you really find out what your three core values are. Like that vacation where you've gone on it and you've come home just feeling completely satisfied. Like Burning Man really works for me because of that. Like my core value, authenticity. It's like, oh my gosh, people take their masks off. Adventure is one of my core values. Comfort, because I go to Burning Man, I bring a really wonderful RV. It has to be a really nice RV because one of my core values is comfort, and Burning Man's kind of not a very comfortable place, but it's made even better though by having like this womb to come home to in the form of an RV. And then one of my core values is loyalty. I go back again and again and again because I'm very, very loyal to that event. So as you're contemplating these, write down words that are just coming up again. And if you're using a computer, you can also use a thesaurus. And just as we play around these, and you can write me afterwards, and we can play around via email. I'll help you along if you need some help. Play around with a thesaurus and look at the words that are associated with the one that you've already written down, and find the one that you have a really just deep physical reaction to. And that will probably be on your list. As for how to figure out your number one, it starts with just identifying your top three. And you may think that it's one and it turns out to be another. Like, for example, Donnie, the one who came up with all this, she thought, so her first core value is workability. And workability is just having all her ducks in a row, her life working seamlessly. People show up when they say they're going to show up. They do the thing that they say they're going to do. The junk drawers are organized. The dishes are done. It's like, yes, that's really, really important to her. Her word is workability. Second is connection. And so she thought connection was her first for a really long time. But then her husband pointed out that, hey, you really can't have a connection with another person until the dishes are done. And she's like, oh, you're right. And so she put workability on the top. And she's also, like I mentioned before, very embarrassed about that. She's like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me that I need a clean house? What is wrong with me that I expect people to be on time? It's like some sort of OCD in me, like, oh, this is so embarrassing. So that's how she knew for sure that it was her number one. So the other way that you can tell which is your number one is the one in which you're least fulfilled, you know, where it's like, it just like is the deepest pain in your heart, especially if it's not being met, where it's just like screaming at you, like, oh, I need this so bad. It's the one you fight for. It's the one you beg for. That is the one that is your number one. It's the one that upsets you the most when you see it not being actualized in another person. Like validation for me, like support for Kirk or workability for Donnie. So a couple things to look for when you're looking for your number one. And this is a really interesting phenomenon that kind of fascinated me. If somebody stays married for 30 years, for sure, their first core value is being met. An example of this is a wife whose primary first core value was security. And the husband's primary first core value was autonomy. And what they can do is come up with an agreement. And you look at these couples all the time where it's like the husband makes a lot of money, the wife spends it, right? The husband is out cheating on her every chance he gets. Wife is just ignoring it, but they stay married for 30, 40 years. Like, what is that? Well, the wife's core value is security. She has financial security. Her core primary value is being met. And the husband's primary core value is autonomy, the ability to go out, or maybe even adventure, right? The ability to go out and do that. Like that, they could come to an unspoken agreement. And so long as their first core value is being met, they stay together. Now, another example of this is I have a married couple friend, and I cannot for the life of me understand why they're still married. And now I understand it. And she's like this Barbie doll, big fake boobs, blonde hair. You know, she's super feminine. And possibly her first primary core value is femininity. And or maybe because she dresses so great and she's like, everything's fine, everything's great. You know, maybe her first core value is appearances. And his first core value, I believe, is probably loyalty or family. And so long as she stays loyal to him, and long as she's like there and willing to support the family, of course they're going to stay together because their first primary core value is being met. And also in understanding what her first core value is, I'm less judgmental of her and the way that she looks, because, oh, her first core value is femininity. That's not mine. It's not on my list. It's probably number 20 or something. So I kind of get it a little bit, but it's like you begin to start to see why some people drive you crazy, or why you don't get some people, why you judge some people. But the second you start to understand about the three core values, then all of a sudden everything starts to make sense, and you're a lot less judgmental towards other people, and you just get them and you want to honor them. So last little bit before we kind of do a little exercise is I want to go over how to figure out another person's three core values. You could do this regarding your partner. You could do this regarding your boss, right? That would go a long way towards serving you at work. Finding about your three core values of your kids. Oh my gosh, the implications of that are huge. So what you do is you look for, again, the thing that matters most to them. And like somebody that's really into looking very neat and put together, like what is that saying about them and what matters to them? And you may not be into, you know, baby in sweatpants and you're like, go out of the house with curlers on. I don't know. And it doesn't matter to you. And you think they're nuts and they think you're nuts. But if you understand each other's core value, you're like, oh, and you want to honor that, right? Next thing you can look at in another person is what is something that they've asked you to do at least three times. Now, going back to Richard Paul Evans, this was interesting. So when he started asking his wife, what can I do to make your day better? She said, clean the kitchen. And he's like, all right. And I mean, he doesn't give a damn about this kind of stuff, right? But it meant something to her. So he went and cleaned the kitchen. Next day, what can I do to make your life better? Clean the garage. And he went and did it. And so it's like he started noticing, and he doesn't know about these three core values. I'm going to fill him in on it though, because I'm going to write a book and he's going to help us get this out there. But you know, what he's probably piecing together there regarding his wife is that maybe one of her first core values is cleanliness. Maybe that may even be her top core value, or manageability like Donnie. So just notice what, if you were to say, what can I do to make you feel better today? What they ask you to do, like that's where you're going to get the biggest clue on what their primary number one, or certainly top three core values are. Another thing to look for is what is the thing that they have the most resentment about as an adult? Like Kirk, for example, he talked on and on about how his parents never supported him. Parents never supported him. And I mean, that's how I came up. I haven't talked to Kirk about this, but that's how I came up with his core primary number one value probably being support. And then of course, learning that, it's like, I didn't give him that. I gave him my version of support, not his version of support. It's like, gosh, I wish I had known this while we were married, because then I could have given it to him, right? This is why it's so important to learn your partner's or your boss's or your kids' primary core values, so that you can give them what they need the most. Another way you can look for somebody's core value is when they all of a sudden turn from a nice person into an aggressive, angry person. Like ask questions like, why are you so angry? Well, you know, and just listen to what they have to say. And in that moment, they are telling you what matters most to them. So pay attention. So you will fight for your primary core value. And my first one, like I mentioned, was validation. And I fought for it like you can't even believe in my marriage. And adults, that's what you do. You will fight for it. But if you have children, it'll be more about insistence. Or if it triggers the child in you, you will become very insistent as well. So validation, look for something that you fight for, or that other people fight for, or that they insist upon, and you'll be able to identify their core value. So bottom line, if you're not living your core value, or if your partner or your friend or your boss is not living their core value, it will either show up as resentment or insistence. for that very thing that they value most. So I'm just going to pause here for a moment. I've given you an earful. Who has questions? I'm sure you guys have questions. Any questions?
Yana, raise your hand.
Yes, I do, Kristen. I seems like wrote a lot on my list, and I'm just wondering, is there a list to narrow them down or to find somewhere where I can see all of them and find which one to speak the most?
There will be eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just something that Donnie has been working on for years. And this is probably the first time she's ever talked about it in a group. But when she works with individuals, she definitely helps people identify them. But she doesn't tell them that that's what she's doing. So I think that she's really kind of putting it all together right now. This is so new. And you think about it, it's like, how could this be new? But it really is. This is like the five love languages on crack. Like, this is such next level stuff. And so what I'm planning on doing in the book that I'm going to help her write is putting down just ones that we see, that she sees a lot. Maybe, I mean, there's going to be a pretty big list. And then just like I said, write it down in your computer, thesaurus it, and just keep playing around and playing around and playing around until you're like, oh, that's it. And I haven't even gotten there yet with mine. I mean, I'm sure that by the time I'm done with this, my three are going to change and morph quite a bit. But you don't want to have them be a sentence. You want to have them be a word. That's what I do have to say. But again, you're going to have to wait for the book to come out. It'll be probably a year, more likely two. I'm sorry. But I just really wanted to get us started. And so this can be your koan, your riddle to try and figure out from here on. And I'm hoping that after this talk, it'll just be on your mind and you'll be like a living, walking, breathing testimonial to try to figure these out and try to figure them out in other people. Even to the point where if you look at somebody that has road rage, like what is their primary core value? What are they upset about you just having violated? Like control or something. I don't know, but it's like, I think you're going to start to see moments wherever you go, like, oh my gosh, I'm encountering somebody's, you know, upset over their core value not being met. Okay, I'm experiencing my upset over my core value not being met. And it all comes down to just reverse engineering. And that's the best I can give you for right now. I'm sorry. Any other questions?
Well, I just want to thank you. Because I always have enjoyed your material and your book and the way you explained it. And it was so interesting because when I joined, like I've been working before on my values and sometimes I go back and write them down. It's the first time that I hear other perspectives like things that you were mentioning, like what triggers other people or the things that I'm always talking about and that thing. And it's interesting because as I joined, I was coming, just stopping to do yoga and I started to look the room around and I saw the desks so I will have a space to move. And that has been my life all the time. Like as I was doing it, I was thinking since little, I do dance, I do this, like movement is important. And I never wrote it as a core value. And it was so, so funny. But yes, I was also resonated things that you said, like the never thought about the things that I feel ashamed about that was totally new, like I ask for help, or I think it goes around feeling support, I guess, or safety maybe. But it was really interesting to see it that way. And like you said, it will take time or it might change with time.
You know, it's interesting you bringing up movement, and I just had an aha moment. Another way that you can probably identify what your core value is what you contribute money to. You know, if you're a philanthropist. So movement, I don't think it's my top three, but I do know that it's certainly my top 20. And I heard about bears that are kept in cages and farmed for their bile, B-I-L-E. And they're in Asia. And there's this company called Animals Asia that are seeking to get these bears out of these cages. And some of these cages are like, they can't even stand up in them. They can't turn around. And these bears are in there for 30 years sometimes. It just makes me sick to think that these animals who live in their bodies aren't able to move. And so it's like, okay, yes, I care about animals, but I more care about the ability to move. And so I send money all the time to Animals Asia so that these bears can move their bodies, right? Get them out of those cages. So that's another way that you can look for your core values is what you contribute money to.
That's interesting. I've been working 5 years like for Vipassana that organize meditation groups. Like that's definitely something that I care about. I don't know if it's meditation, if it's whatever it brings to people. Well-being,
peace with your core value. I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure, but I think my husband's ex-husband's second core value is calm. Try that on. Calm, peace.
Yeah, peace, definitely.
Somebody else, do you want to run something by me? See what we come up with.
Yes, Kristen. You know, I'm wondering if you really feel and know some of your core values, how long do you think it might take where you can see, oh, this is why I'm getting riled up? I mean, I will say one main reason I'm participating in this group, aside from it being fascinating, is I'd like to be able to have better control of a Zen attitude and, or, you know, be aware of it in the moment and understand and manage my reactions better. Have you ever felt since you've been looking at this that you're understanding things in that way as they happen?
No, I don't understand Zen as being about control. I see Zen more as about relinquishing control. But the thing is, I really think since Sunday, this is going to change forever the way I facilitate voice dialogue and how I see this work, because if your core value, one of your top three core values, or even top 10, top 20 is control, right? Then we need to honor that, you know? And if you see this as a way to have a practice where you can control things, you know, which is your core value. Other people, maybe their core value is freedom, you know, and they don't want to be in control of anything or autonomy or just not being like they judge people that are controlling or all about control. And so it's just a question that you can start asking yourself and just mulling over, like,
well, nobody in as I said that, I knew it was like when I killed a spider in yoga, that it was like the wrong word, but I guess it's just I'd like to not react the way, you know, that the first thing that comes into my head. That's what I mean.
I would say take the word control, grab a thesaurus, figure out if there are associated words that kind of speak to you more. Maybe it's not control. I mean, I usually pride myself being a voice dialogue facilitator and being able to identify what voice you're talking about. Maybe it's measured, or maybe it's just calm, or maybe it's the opposite of reactionary, like type in the word reactionary and what is the opposite of that word? You know, play around until you find the one that just strikes you, that captures the essence of what you want to accomplish when you see a spider and you don't jump up and scream and yell, you know. Like for somebody whose primary core value is excitement, right? They're going to be like, what, the spider, right? And they're going to jump up and down and they're going to have fun with it, right? So it explains a lot about how people react differently to different things. And it also explains why the excitement person is like, boy, you're boring. And you may say, boy, you're dramatic. Like it's, right? It explains why we judge things in other people. So whenever you, back to how you figure out your core value, how do you judge people and how they react to a spider, or how you judge people when they just say whatever's on their mind rather than taking a moment to pause before they speak, like pay attention to that and just keep reverse engineering until you find your word.
I'll try it. I'm not feeling controlled. I think I chose the wrong word, but I will try it and we'll see.
Before we have any more questions, though, I want to, because this may answer a lot of questions, I want to talk about how they serve you. And I think that knowing how they serve you will also help you be able to figure out what your three core values are. And how they serve you is in two ways, basically relationships with other people and your own relationship with yourself. So let's go over relationships with other people. First of all, whatever is something that you hold so dear to your heart, somebody else in your life holds something completely different, dear to their heart, and it matters as much to them as what matters to you matters to you. So really get that, right? Like what matters to you, also something else matters to them. So relationships are about honoring, first of all, who you are, and also recognizing and honoring who other people are as well. So you can ask yourself through this process, you know, like coming back to Richard Paul Evans, what can I do for my partner? You know, such that their core values are served. Like with Kirk, you know, if we were still married, how can I support you in a way that makes sense to you? How I can honor his core values is that if his second one really is calm, that when I'm all excited and animated about something that I just experienced, maybe not bring it to him unless his core values met first, and then he could probably receive mine. Or then he can probably allow me that luxury of getting excited about something. So let me give you some examples of this that maybe are less personal because Kirk's on the call. But let's talk about Donnie. So Donnie's first core value is workability. And workability, like I said, is her word for just having, maybe it's control, right? Or just having everything just work together. And her husband understands that about her. And so what he did is, instead of on her birthday buying her flowers, he organized the junk drawer. And she was so absolutely flabbergasted and touched that she started crying. And he's like, wow, if that's all it takes to make you happy. Like, he organized all the junk drawers over the next little while. And it's like, oh my gosh, the relationship was great right after that. And so her husband's number one is sovereignty. So how she kind of honors that is, instead of saying, hey, it's my mom's birthday on Saturday, we need to be at her house at 7 p.m. for dinner, she says, hey, mom's birthday, dinner at 7. Do you want to join me? Like, she knows enough to just ask him because it's so important to him that he has sovereignty. And then, because his second is creativity, she's like, if you come, why don't you bring the painting that you've been working on and, you know, show it to everybody? And let's listen to a podcast on the way up there. And so next thing you know, he's like, ooh, this sounds great. Whereas if she's just said, you have to be there at 7 p.m., they're going to get in a fight. Things are going to go south. Like and the thing is, Donnie's second is connection. She's not going to have the connection with her husband that she wants during her mother's birthday. So it's like you have to be able to honor, let's say, your partners, certainly their number one, before they can honor your number one. That's why it's so important to know, I mean, if you're in a relationship, what are your three core values and what are your partner's three core values? Love language is nothing compared to this. Like, so that how can I honor what my husband needs or my partner needs, and how can he honor what my core values are, so that he can have his met too, because I'll have something to give him and I can have my met as well. So, and can you see with Donnie, you know, talking about her mother's party, it's not about manipulation. It's about honoring who her husband is and helping him thrive. Another example is Donnie's cousin is her first primary core value is inclusion. And they never understood why she felt so slighted if she didn't get invited to everything. She's like, geez, we don't really know her that well. Like, she's just weird. Like, she's so insecure, right? That was their judgment. But when they reverse engineered it, they're like, oh, our cousin's first primary value is about inclusion. And so they now know to invite her to everything, every party, every whatever. Whether she comes or not is another story. She just needs to feel included. And that's how you can honor her and her core value. So another one is a husband's core value was security. And well, actually, let me back up. So husband and wife, they had a great marriage and they fought. They had the same argument and they had their same argument constantly for years. And it was about money. And the thing is that the argument about money is that the husband's primary core value, number one, was security. And his wife's was about connection. And so when she would go out and spend his money, it threatened his security. And then she was trying to get a connection with him. And he was just so just upset about the fact that his security was threatened. He couldn't give her a connection. And they just fought about it all the time. She wasn't getting connection. He was complaining about her spending all the money. So she came home and she said, oh my gosh, I talked to Donnie, right? I'm so excited. She didn't say we need to talk because that's threatening to him. Instead, she said, I'm so excited, right? You were right, she said. I have been spending all your money and I've been complaining about you being stingy and all of that. Like, really, what I was doing was threatening your security, your financial security. And I'm so sorry. And I'm going to stop doing that because I want to make you sure that you feel secure. And once he felt secure, he was then able to give his wife the connection that she wanted. Because he feels gotten, basically. He feels gotten, and so then he can give her what she needs because he also understands her core value. So these are some great examples. I have a million others. There's a couple things that may happen. It's like you may try to like pick a partner who has the same core value as you, or pick friends that have the same core value as you. And that's great. You know, like adventure, like let's go on adventures together, or comfort, let's sit around in our pajamas and eat Haagen-Dazs together. Like, great. But you do not in any way, shape, or form need to share common values in order to be in a relationship together. You do not have to match up. You just need to be aware of what your partners or your bosses or your kids or whatever core values are so that you can honor them. And they need to be aware of yours so that they can honor you as well. Like, for example, if your value is number one, calm, and your kid's number one value is love, right? And let's say your kid is demanding love. You can say, hey, you know that mommy's core value is calm. And so can you give mommy calm so that I can give you love? Or can I give you love because I know that's your core value, and then you can give me calm in return. And next thing you know, instead of it being an argument, it's just a fascinating conversation and things just get resolved super quickly. If your kid's number one core value is creativity, like can you figure out a way to connect with them in that way? If your partner's core value is support, can you find a way to give them that? The other thing in how this will reflect in your relationships is you just become so much less judgmental of others because you just see that they're different. They have different values. They don't have better values or lesser values, right? All values start to seem very worthy and understandable. Like, for example, my friend who's just all about femininity. You know, I get her now. I just get her now. That's wonderful. Any questions about that, about how they serve you in relationships?
Kristen, Dave has a question.
Okay.
Let's see here. Is it on?
Mm-hmm. We can hear you.
All right. I do have a question on it. You're saying you get your core values by what you avoid, that what really triggers you?
I'm saying that how you figure out your core value, the best way to figure it out is what you judge in other people, what okay. triggers you the most.
Okay.
And what you're actually a little bit embarrassed about and you kind of wish weren't so.
Well, I don't know if I'm embarrassed about this, but I know what really soars for me, let's say, is that if I'm with somebody that we share a sense of humor, that's really like so great for me. And if it's a really kind of depressing, like a Y2K is gonna be like an earthquake, it really bugs me.
So I'm leaning in because I heard the first part about sense of humor, and maybe right. your core value top three might be sense of humor. But if you actually kind of look deeper, is it possibly lightness or keeping things not simple, but what is the word I'm looking for? Conflict free, or I don't know what the word would be. And what was the second part of what you said?
Well, if you talk to, I think of people that are saying like, hey, Y2K is going to be like an earthquake, and they have a different story every day of something scary that they heard on the news. I tend to not want to hang around somebody like that.
Okay. Well, right there, then your core value may be, you know, like their core value may be something like excitement or controversy or I don't know. Like I said, I'm very new at this. And I'm okay. pretty good with voice dialogue and picking words, but this hasn't been developed in me yet. And so we're kind of working on this together. But if you judge that in other people, then the opposite of that may be what your core value is.
What is the opposite?
Right. And but you may be like, oh, what is wrong with those people? Well, they just have different core values than you.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay.
Right. You may really, really value lightness of heart or just lightness. Okay. And they're super heavy and intense. You know what I mean?
Well, they're just like Candy Penny. The sky's going to fall down all the time. So
I couldn't hear that. Could you say it again?
They're just Candy Penny. Everything's going to be a disaster. And
right. But if you look at them, they're having a great time.
Yeah, they are having fun with that. I mean, they're
right. So yeah. That's their core value. It's not yours.
You know, one thing that bugs me about that, though, is they're scaring other people.
So then reverse engineer that.
Yeah.
Like, what's the opposite of scared?
I feel like it triggers me wanting to be protective.
Okay. So then maybe protection is your core value. Or what's the opposite of scared? Or what is the, they're inflicting fear on other people. You're inflicting calm on other people.
Yeah.
Right. Like, they don't want to be calm and you don't want to be afraid. So you guys, I mean, they're no better or no worse than you. They're just, they have different core values.
Right.
And so can you use the trigger that you have around them to figure out what yours is?
That'd be interesting. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, there's a couple of good suggestions in the chat, Dave, if you wanted to look. People are making some nice observations.
All right. I'm still kind of new with the Zoom, so I'm going to switch over to that chat.
Click on the chat box down the bottom of the screen there.
Okay. I'm going to go through the second way in which they serve you, which is just within yourself.
Hey, Kristen,
not just in your relationships with other people, strangers and people in your life, people in your inner core, but how finding out your three core values affects your own life. Like, let's say your core value, your number one core value is validation, like mine is, right? I honor my core value within me all the time. I am constantly validating myself. All of a sudden, my whole life has made sense. Like, I look in the mirror and I'm like, God, you're good looking, right? Oh my God, you look amazing in that dress. Like, I have my core value. I meet my own core value all the time to myself. So where this can be interesting though, or challenging, is if you're wanting other people to validate your core value, like for example, mine, that can be a real problem. So it's interesting to notice that. So how this can honor yourself is then you can know what kind of personal work to do. Like if your core value is comfort, right? How can you cultivate comfort in your life? If my core value is validation, how can I cultivate validation in my life within my own autonomous self? Another way that this can affect you in a positive way is if you can also recognize that your core values, even though you've identified them, you've told your partner what they are, and they are just not willing to acknowledge them or meet them, even though you keep asking again and again and again. Like for example, then that's a sign that you need to end that relationship. An example of this is, let's say your core value is loyalty and you confide in somebody and you say, hey, I need to tell you something. Please don't tell anyone else. And then they go and tell somebody else. Well, because that's your number one core value, that will be a deal breaker for that relationship. Somebody else, it's like no big deal, because if their core value isn't loyalty, they're like, don't tell anybody. They tell somebody, it's like, whatever. That's just who they are. And they're still friends with them. But if it's your core value and it's number one in particular, like, do not stay friends with that person, right? Because if they dishonor your core value, it feels like they have just dishonored you, period. And when that happens, when somebody else isn't honoring your core value, or when you aren't honoring your core value as well, especially your number one, you're just going to feel unwell. You're going to feel out of harmony with yourself and out of harmony with life. And you'll know this person isn't right for you, or, and this is really interesting, you'll know this job isn't right for you and you can leave, or you know that this group that you're involved in isn't right for you because they don't match your core value, or they don't honor it. At least they don't need to match it. They just need to honor it. Like, there's no reason why partners should ever have the same core values, and they can be polar opposite core values. So long as they're honored though, stay. But the second they're not, and the second you have any kind of hopelessness that they're never going to acknowledge and honor and appreciate and give to you, or at least allow you to thrive within your core value, then you know if there's hopelessness about that, it's time to leave. It's time to leave the job. It's time to leave the group. It's time to leave the relationship. But in order to get all these benefits in relationships and get these benefits within yourself, you have to first know yours. And you have to be able to communicate it clearly to the people in your lives. You cannot expect them to get it without these two factors. You have to identify what your core values are, and you need to be able to, not through passive aggressive or subtle means or whatever, you need to be able to communicate it clearly. And once you learn how to do this, because it's the filter through how you see the world, you can start to notice the patterns of it. You can start to notice the patterns of the people in your life, and you can start, as you identify yours, as you can start to identify the people in your life, like all of a sudden how this serves you just expands and expands and expands until the world makes a lot more sense and your relationships are a lot more easeful, and just you're on the path that you were meant to be on that maybe you've fallen off of at some point in your life. So, whoo, a lot of information. Any remaining questions? And I usually try to do some sort of facilitated like exercise, but I really think that the exercise is going to be done in you guys just contemplating this and trying to figure out what your three are, and talking about it with your loved ones, and reverse engineering, and taking the information. And I think turning this into your own facilitated experience past this point, I think is how this hour is going to best serve you. but let's take a few minutes, of course, to still answer questions. What you got for me?
Krista.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi, I don't know if you can hear me. I'm driving, so I'm sorry if it cuts off a little bit. But I just wanted to share because I have done a little bit of core value work. And this is something that they teach a lot in NLP and stuff like that. And some of that work Tony Robbins does. But the one thing that I wanted to mention is one thing that has helped me anyway to differentiate between the towards values, like it's almost like the value that is pulling us versus the value, the away from value. Because it seems like sometimes we do some things in life to get away from something rather than from something that is actually pulling us. Like adventure, for example, would probably be some, and I guess it would depend on each circumstance with each person, right? But it was good for me to differentiate that probably when I didn't have something in my life and I felt like I hadn't discovered my towards value, that I usually went to my away from value. And so the whole work was to be able to move from away value to towards values, from the things like make us really excited and like bring you know, that creativity and the love and the passion and, you know, whatever it is that we're looking for. But anyway, I can share later, there's a really, really amazing book on values that I actually haven't read myself, but it's been recommended to me. But I really like the way that you explained it at the beginning, because there's a lot of amazing questions there to be asked, right? And the other thing also that for me, it is good to differentiate, because at some point I'm not really sure if I am following something because I have a core need that hasn't been met in my life, like from very young, and then I turn that into a value, or is it something that, and it goes back to the same thing, is it something that I am running away from or that I am actually pulling, that is pulling me towards. Anyway, I just thought I would mention that.
Well, I think what you're mentioning is, you know, the dualistic nature of the world. It's like whatever, let's say your core value is love, you're naturally going to be repulsed by hatred or run away from hatred or whatever you perceive the opposite of love to be. If your core value is adventure, you're going to be running away from comfort, or not necessarily comfort, but just like playing it safe, or I don't know what that word would be. But sometimes playing it safe can be the ultimate adventure, you know, especially if you haven't had that for a while. Like, oh my gosh, what is it like to sit at home for a year when all I do is travel the world? Like, that's a new adventure. So it's like passion. What's the opposite of passion? Was another word that you mentioned. Just kind of dullness, I guess. So you're running away from dullness towards passion. And so that's another way, like, what do you run away from that can help you identify what your core value is? Anybody else?
Yeah, Kristen, Glenn had a question.
Okay.
Yeah, this is very juicy, by the way. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Excellent. You know, it's a great talk when my wheels they're just smoking here.
Oh, good.
And it's great because the initial premise that you were talking about being understood happens to be one of my partial core values of communication. With that said, the question I have is, how do you know you've buried your core values? You know, what are some of the indications that you're way off course with your personal integrity?
Besides, you feel sick and unwell. Okay. And like the world doesn't make sense and there's something seriously wrong.
Okay. And then one of the things with relationships with others, for example, if one person is about cleanliness and you're about relaxation, I wonder how that negotiation is how that pans out if you don't want to get up and clean. You know, that's one of those things in relationship, you know, the negotiating between the core values is very interesting.
Yes, it is. But I mean, can there be problems in, say, a marriage if they don't line up? Well, yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say if somebody's core value number one is security and the other partner's is adventure, or one's is autonomy and the wife is connection, right? Mm-hmm. It seems natural that it's going to be problematic, but it's not about lining up your values. It's never going to be about that. It's more about knowing, recognizing, and honoring each other's values. So I have a friend actually whose wife is all about security and he's all about adventure. And she's just like, go off, you know, travel your little heart out. I'm not going to come with you, right? Mm-hmm. And hers is probably more comfort, or actually hers is more creativity, but it's like, as long as you honor the others, like the autonomy versus connection, you know, that looks like, oh my gosh, he wants to be like, get away from me. And she wants to connect. Like, that seems like it could be a real disaster, but you're describing Donnie and her husband. You know, mm-hmm. She's all about connection. He's all about autonomy. And she says, oh, are you, she doesn't just say, I want a connection. She's like, hey, what's going on with you? Do you need space, or are you available for a connection? And just by honoring his need for autonomy, he's like, yeah, I need some space right now, but I'll come back later. And then, because I know yours is connection, I will, you know, then spend some time connecting with you. And so what that looks like, if you're about relaxation, your wife is about cleanliness, if she understands that that's, you're not just being lazy and you're not helping her and you son of a bitch, right? But she actually understands that that's your core value, then she's like, okay, sweetie, I know that you really value relaxation. And so, you know, just, I want to just honor you and let you relax. And can you also honor me at some point today and help me clean the house?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, absolutely. So long as you feel honored, right? Then
right.
You're going to be more than happy to also honor hers. But if you feel like yours isn't being honored, it's like, the hell with her. I'm not going to help her do this. That bitch, she's just constantly nagging me, like on my case, right? So it's all it is, like there's no incompatible core values. It's just a matter of understanding and honoring them.
I get it. Thank you.
Okay. And the last thing I'll say about that, there's only problems if one or the other is not getting their core values met. Then you will not be able to give back to the other person. Like, because my validation core value wasn't met in my marriage, I was not able to offer my husband support. And because his core value of support was not being met, he was not able to offer me validation. And thus our marriage disintegrated. And if we had known this while we were still married and been like, oh, you need support, oh, you need validation, we would have been fine. Any other questions? You know, sometimes you can actually have a conflict within yourself with your core values. Like, let's say your core value is, say, sovereignty, but you're a drug addict. And you're like, you know, and your friends and family are saying, you need to whatever. And you're like, it's pushing up against your sovereignty. And you're like, I can do what I want with my body, because that's your sovereignty, right? But you don't realize that you've actually lost your sovereignty over your own body. So it's like you can have a tug of war going on within yourself too. I mean, there's a lot going on here that we could keep talking about, but you know, we've hit the end. And is there anybody else that has just a burning question before we say goodbye and you have your homework of the koan, the riddle of trying to figure out your three core values and discussing it with the people in your life? Okay, then. It's all about the homework. You're right, Liz. Okay, then I finish by putting my hands together and bowing to you. Thank you for engaging in consciousness practice with me today. I'm super excited about this. I hope you are too. It totally changed my perspective on a lot of things, including how I'm going to facilitate in the future, what I'm going to facilitate with people. So thank you for being here, and I'll talk to you again in a month.